Hare Krishna. So on this very auspicious occasion, the first day of spring in our Vedic calendar, the Sant Panchami, as you can see, the deities are always dressed gorgeously today and very beautiful, predominantly yellow and green outfits, which is befitting this occasion. It's the tradition that on this day we offer many devotees also, at least in the, let's say in the traditional sense, dress in yellow, sometimes green. It's a fresh day. It's a day to begin new projects, turn over a new leaf, spring clean, as we say in the West, a day for spring cleaning. Cleaning our hearts every day, especially today is a very auspicious day to begin things. And if you want to offer something to the deity, it's nice to bring some beautiful yellow, green flowers or decorations or outfits or along that line. And of course there's many different pujas that take place. Weddings sometimes properly take place on this day, and Sarasvati Puja, of course it's also the day for Sarasvati Puja. We don't make a separate endeavor in that regards. We study Prabhupada's books. This is perfect Sarasvati Puja. Perfect. And today is also the auspicious occasion of the Avirbhav, or the appearance day of many great Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, and the disappearance today also of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, famous amongst many of our Vaishnav commentaries, are those written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Practically speaking, Srila Prabhupada's inspiration in his preaching mission was, of course, coming from his Guru Maharaj, but also from the commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And many of Srila Prabhupada's commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, are based upon Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. We might talk a little bit, time allowing, about Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in a few minutes or a little later. It's also the appearance day today of the consort of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimati Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi. Can you hear at the back? Are you sure? Can you hear at the front? In the middle? Somehow or another, try to hear. Hearing is the key process in purification of the heart. And on occasions like today, when we have the great good fortune to remember, glorify, hear about, pray to, serve, worship the lotus feet, and so on, these great personalities, it's even more potent than normal. It's like a special occasion when they give their association more readily, more easily. These days are very special, and almost every day, Prabhupada one time said, I could give you a festival every day to honor Srila Prabhupada. These festivals which Srila Prabhupada has given us are very, very important in our spiritual growth. Madhava Titi Bhakti Janani, Bhakti Vinod Thakur describes them as mothers of devotion. To nurture our Bhakti Lata Bija, our tender creeper of devotion, for those who observe them. If all we do is hear about the person, when we first came to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON society, practically nobody knew anything if you mention the name, maybe somebody had heard of Raghunath Das Goswami. But if you mention Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, you may have read his name in the Bhagavad Gita purport if it was there. And that was about all anyone knew. And if you mentioned Vishnu Priya Devi, probably nobody, at least where I was, knew who she was. What to speak of Raghunandana Thakur? Maybe Raghunath Das or Pundarik Vidyanidhi, nobody would have had a clue. Who is Pundarik Vidyanidhi? And maybe most of you here today are a little familiar with these personalities, but we shouldn't become, in one sense, familiar, but not too familiar, thinking, I've heard this before. I don't need to hear this again. Let me hear something new. That's a rather material perception. Transcendental topics are ever relishable, and they become realized by submissive hearing. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, for instance, will reveal himself to us if we hear submissively about his wonderful pastimes. Srila Sachinanda Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Bhakti Aloka how by hearing about these great personalities, one can become very satisfied. Everybody is looking for satisfaction. The problem is, because of our mixture of various, let's say, objectives, we don't find the satisfaction or that param drishtva navartate in spiritual life that sometimes we would like to, the nectar that we're all anxiously hankering for, sometimes evades us. The process is to hear submissively the subject matter from the right source. So one of the key subject matters, even more potent and effective, practically speaking, than to hear Krishna Katha directly, is to hear Vaishnav Katha. Hear topics concerning the devotees, because it is more pleasing to Krishna than to even hear, they'll say, discuss directly Krishna Katha. Krishna is more pleased when he hears his devotees glorified by their mercy. One gets Krishna's mercy. So to glorify the devotees is a most great privilege and opportunity today. So whether we're speaking, hearing, remembering, or whatever it is, we're all very fortunate to have this opportunity. When we first joined, every single day, Vakreshvara Pandit's appearance day. Does anyone know about Vakreshvara Pandit? Blank faces would be there. Oh, never mind. Let's have a festival. Let's have a festival. When Jagannath Das Babaji, sometimes he'd say, let's have a festival. Today is Sanatan Goswami's appearance day. But Babaji Maharaj, we don't have anything to use for a festival. We don't need anything. Just chant Hare Krishna. That's all you need to do. More kirtan. So we would always take every opportunity to have a feast. On every occasion. So we would just do more kirtan and Jai Vakreshwar Pandit Ki Jai Hare Krishna, and more kirtan and lots of feasting. That was the festival, honoring the great appearance or disappearance days. So I don't know if there's anything special arranged today in terms of extra kirtan. You have no excuse here in Vrindavan. It is a constant festival 24 hours a day. With the 24-hour kirtan going on, there's no shortage of prasadam in Vrindavan. Not that you have to go over the road and buy something from the restaurant. No, there's always different varieties of prasadam in Vrindavan. So many varieties, the dust. So many wonderful ways the Lord's mercy is coming to absorb ourselves in the mood of a festival, the spiritual world. And we'll be very satisfied like this. We used to have so many festivals. Every day was a festival. I mean, let's face it. It used to be like at least 10 hours kirtan every day of the week for all the devotees. Not just for a few chosen ones. That was it. That was what the Hare Krishna movement is. Not was. That's what it means. To absorb ourselves in hearing, chanting, and remembering the name, form, pastimes, qualities of the Lord. Prabhupada gave us this. So these days are times to remember this, to feel that satisfaction. Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes on to describe that one can also feel great courage, confidence, by hearing about these great devotees who come into this world to give their association, to give direction, and they leave it behind. They don't go away. Even us, they leave it all there for us. We just have to tap into it. It's there. We have to know the science. Just like, I guess, electricity or that, something like that is everywhere. You just have to know the science, how to extract it, how to tap into it. Krishna's mercy is everywhere. And the great devotees bring it into this world and make it available. We just have to take it. They're so kind. And that will give us courage and confidence, which we all lack. And also, determination. It's very easy to terminate. We have to become determinate. Determine means non-stop. Terminate means to stop. So determination means no stopping. To get that mood of these great devotees, 24 hours, Kirtaniya Sadhari, always engaged in devotional service. So I'd like to thank you for giving us this little opportunity today to remember these great personalities. And we would advise you during the day, if you have time, to read a little bit more about them, because we have a short span to discuss such elevated topics. But there are some references. For instance, if you want to read about Pundarik Vidyanidhi, there are references in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but especially in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are as much topic, subject matter covered of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Vishnu Priya Devi. Not much in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but in Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Mangala, there is quite a lot of references. If you want to read about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you won't find anything in those literatures, but there are biographies you can search. I don't know if there's any books with the biography of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur written in, but certainly if you are a Googler, or whatever it's called, you can ask Google Guru for information on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he will give you lots of information. He's a very learned guru. And if you want to know about Raghunandana Thakur, there's not much mentioned in the Bhakti Ratnakara. I believe there is something mentioned there. Different places you will find. If you Raghunath Das Goswami, there is plenty. He's the primary, you could say, in terms of familiarity of the personalities today, in terms of subject matter. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, has chapters dealing with Raghunath Das Goswami's great devotion. So we'll just touch on a few of these topics today, and we hope that we'll become more determined, more courageous, and more satisfied, and that our devotional creepers will be nourished and will feel enthusiastic to, practically speaking, dedicate our lives more to devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Well, we'd like to first offer our obeisances to all of the Vaishnavas here. Vanchakalpa turubhyascha kripa sindubhyebhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. It's only by the mercy of devotees, especially our acharyas, divine grace Srila Prabhupada representing our parampara, that we have anything whatsoever. Of course, Krishna is the source of everything. He's giving us the ability to hear, to speak, to think, to do everything, whatever little we have. It's by the mercy of our devotees that can be connected to Krishna and become, maybe, we hope, a little useful. So where should we begin? We've already mentioned the Sant Panchami, first day of spring. So let's start springing a little bit. Now, some of us have become a bit rusty, maybe due to being too much lusty. I don't know, hope not, but let's start springing. Let's start getting movement. a little bit, in touch with what this Krishna consciousness movement's all about. It's not just about some mechanical maneuvers to adjust things to make it suitable to our condition or fitting into the world around, but how to actually change the consciousness, how to change the world. We have to make a little endeavor, as these great personalities do when they come into this world. So where should we start? Who should we start to mention a little few words about these great personalities? Who's on the list there? Who have we got? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Well, it's his disappearance day today. So maybe we'll speak for a few minutes. I don't know very much about any of them. I mean, because in reality, even if we think we do, we don't. Because they are unlimited. Their glories are unlimited. And maybe a few drops are there. What's the big deal if you read a few things and memorize it? That's good, it's devotional service, but it doesn't necessarily make one eligible to be listed as a great devotee because you've remembered a few things and you're a good orator or something. That's not the qualification. It's that we've imbibed our instructions, apply them in our lives, and follow in their footsteps is the real essence of it all. However, to hear about the pastimes of these great personalities is a purificatory activity of devotional service. Just like Srila Prabhupada has given us the Krishna book, and just to hear the Krishna book purifies our consciousness, removes the anartas from our heart. Similarly, by hearing about great devotees. So we'll start with Vishwanath, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Of course, he appeared much later than the others who are being honored today. He appeared in the 17th century, quite some time after the departure of the Goswamis, to speak of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one of his main contributions was Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said he was the guardian, the protector, the acharya of our line during that period of time. He was known as the crest jewel amongst all the Vaishnavas. One, the Chakravarti, one who spreads the wheel of bhakti or devotional service to Krishna far and near. And personifies, you can say, the jewel of devotional service, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various ways. And he compiled, because when he was a young man, he was very, very detached, even as a child. He was a great scholar, very learned in Sanskrit language. He studied Sanskrit and various other aspects of philosophy as a young child. He was very, very learned, but he was also extremely detached and humble. And his parents, like all, good parents, are very worried that their child might become a crazy renunciate. So they did all they could to stop him. And they did all they could to keep him in a state of sanity. But they were not very successful. They managed to get him married at an early age. But he didn't last very long. After a very short time, he just disappeared from the family and went to Vrindavan. And there he stayed in Radhakund mostly, performing bhajan on the banks of Radhakund. And what to do at that time? Of course, the Goswamis were not there, but he received in a dream the instruction from the Lord came to write commentaries on the great writings of the Goswamis as well as the Shastras such as the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, which he did very enthusiastically. He wrote 40 books on his own account, so to speak, besides many commentaries. Madhura Kadambini, for instance, is one of his compilations, quite a famous literature. And I can't remember, so many others are there. And of course, the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. What is it called? Sarata Darshini. beautiful commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, which Mahanidhi Maharaj has edited, I think with the help maybe with Banu Swami, I don't know, has put it into, made it available in the English language. Really very wonderful presentation. Prabhupada's commentaries, of course, are there, up to in his Krishna book and up to the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. Beyond that, Prabhupada didn't do verse-by-verse commentary. So that's a wonderful, let's say, jewel amongst the literatures which we have available. And so many other literatures, Vishwanath Chakravarti Kumpad. His parents constantly were trying to get him to come back home, as all upright, good parents do. But they were totally unsuccessful. He just stayed in Vrindavan for his whole life as the leader or the head of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas at that time. Little few words about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We have Raghunandana Thakur. He's not so well known. Today is his disappearance day. There's not an awful lot written about him. There's nothing awful written about him. There's not much written. The funny term. He probably most famous. He was son of Mukunda. Mukunda was a physician. There was few brothers, and amongst them Mukunda was the Das. He was a physician, medical man, and he had one son named Raghunandana, a young boy. During the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mukunda was very dear to Lord Chaitanya. I won't speak about him, but his son Raghunandana, he was a very special child, very great devotee, very pure-hearted and very devotional child. So Mukunda, he used to worship Radha Gopinath, deity of Gopinath, and he would sometimes engage his son in assisting, although his son was only 5 years old at the time. It's interesting to note, in one conversation Srila Prabhupada in New Vrindavan was discussing, and he was being asked, at what time should children start worshipping the deities? And Prabhupada said, at the age of 10. Someone said, do you mean in the home? Prabhupada said, no, in the temple. Radha Krishna. Interesting. So anyway, Mukunda was engaging his son also, he was only 5, in the very pure-hearted soul, in where help assisting. One day Mukunda had to go out. He was busy on some medical business. So he already showed his son basically over a period of time how it all worked. So he asked Raghunandana, today I have to go out. You have to do all the puja. So you have to offer the Rajboga offering to the deity of Gopinath. And you have to make sure, just like your mother always makes sure you eat, you have to make sure that Gopinath eats his dinner, or lunch as it's now called. Make sure he eats his dinner. We used to call it dinner, now we call it lunch. Make sure he eats, okay? Just like your mother makes sure you eat. And you're not allowed to leave the dinner table until you've finished everything on your plate. That's how our father used to train us. And we soon learnt, and I would recommend that parents pull their socks up and start training their children how to eat. It's an offence to allow the children just to whimsically take what they want and throw it away. It is bad parenting. Children should not leave a grain on their plate. That's how I was trained in England by an atheistic father. Don't put it on there, sunshine, if you're not going to eat it. And you sit there. I had to sit for 2 hours until I finished sometimes. I soon learned my lesson. So his father told him, make sure that Krishna eats. And so his father went away. So the little boy got everything ready. Did what best he could and brought it onto the altar, began to offer it, saying the mantras which his father, imitating his father, doing everything just nicely, ring, ding, ding, this one, that one. Krishna stood there, nothing's happening. The boy's looking at the plate. Oh no, Krishna's not eating anything. And he just, in an innocent way, Krishna, eat, eat, eat it, eat it. He didn't know what else to say. He'd run out of mantras. He said, eat it. You see, it's not the mantras that count, really. You can chant a million mantras, but that doesn't mean that Krishna's going to accept it. He may if he wants. It's the mood. All right, then, that innocent little boy with love from his heart is asking Krishna, please eat. Please eat. All right, then. Krishna began to eat everything. There was nothing left. The plates were barren. He was a good boy. Krishna was a good boy. He ate everything. After some time, Mukunda came home and said, did you manage to do everything? And the boy said, yes, father. Did you offer everything at lunchtime? Yes, father. Okay, bring the Mahaprasad. The boy said, father, there's nothing left. Krishna ate it all. What? Sorry, what did you say? Krishna ate it all, father. Really? He ate it all. He looked at the child's belly. It wasn't very big. He said, my son is very truthful. He's not a big eater. He couldn't possibly have eaten it all himself. What has happened? There are different stories, different places you find slightly different versions of the story. But to make it simple, the father thought, something very strange is happening here. So he said again, and later on he said to his son, all right, son, I want you to do it again. I want you to offer Krishna his meal again, okay? Yes, father. The boy was quite excited. He got everything ready, took it on the altar. This time the father hid behind the curtain, watching what is going on behind the curtains. Don't think you can get away with it, ladies and gentlemen. You may think no one's watching, but Krishna's watching. He sees everything we do. So in this case, the father was watching. So he hid behind the curtain. The boy came in. The plate went down. Ring, ding. The mantras went on. Krishna stood there, nothing happening. Please eat, eat, eat. Oh, Gopinath, please eat. Oh, Gopinath said, how can I eat? I'm packed to the brim. You fed me so much last time, I'm stuffed to the neck. I can't eat anything. There are different stories, but this is the more exciting of the stories. So then the boy said, please eat something. Eat something. All right then. And he picked up a laddu. A laddu and... and he bit into the laddu. He had half the laddu. And it said today, that deity of Gopinath is still there holding half a laddu. He only ate half of it. The father was shocked. He realized his son was a great devotee of the Lord. He was so pleased. He embraced his son. He was so happy. And later on when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and when they met him in Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Mukunda, who is the father? Who is the son? Is Raghunandana your father or you his father? Mukunda said, Raghunandana is my father. Lord Chaitanya said, you are correct. He said, why? Because Raghunandana has given me real bhakti. He's given me real devotional service. And then Lord Chaitanya said, yes, one who gives devotional service is your father. Even if you happen to be his so-called father, you're his father, but if he's your son and he gives you devotion, he's actually your father. Like this, Raghunandana Thakur was a great devotee of the Lord. Very great devotee of the Lord. Then we have Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. the consort of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She was, I don't know too much, but a little bit we'll try to say a few words. In her previous lifetime, of course, when the Lord appears, his associates appear with him. These are all eternal associates of the Lord. They're all eternal associates. So Vishnu Priya is this, she's known as Svarup Shakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes her as the internal potency personified. Svarup Shakti, Ladini Shakti, Samvit. All these Shaktis are present in her. She's not just an ordinary sadhaka. She is the internal energy of the Lord. When Krishna appeared, it said that she was Satyabhama, Krishna's wife, in Dwarka Lila, which means that she is another expansion of Srimati Radharani, because in Braj Lila, Satyabhama is the, or in Dwarka Lila, Satyabhama is the expansion of Radharani, Rukmini of Chandravali, the different potencies are there. So she is Satyabhama. And she was the daughter of Sanatan Mishra, one great learned and pious Brahmin, quite a wealthy Brahmin in Navadvip. Sanatan Mishra was also another form of King Satrajit. So it goes together like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai, of course was, he was married to Lakshmi Priya, and when he went off to East Bengal in the name of fundraising or preaching, his wife Lakshmi Priya passed away during that time. So of course Mother Sachi was overwhelmed with grief when her son came back. She wanted him to marry again after some time. She knew who she wanted him to marry, because many, many years ago, the daughter of Sanatan Mishra, she used to go to the bank of the Ganga every day, like all the little girls would. They have a separate place for the ladies and for the men. And so this little girl, Vishnu Priya, she was so pious. And she would, every day when she would see Sachi Devi, Lord Nimai's mother, she would come and touch her feet and offer obeisances and offer service to her in a very loving way. And she was a very beautiful girl. And Mother Sachi fell in love with that little girl. And she was thinking, if only my Nimai, she would make a wonderful wife for my Nimai. So that was already in her heart. So this thought came to her. So Mother Sachi called Kashinath Pandit, they have matchmakers, not making matches that you strike. A kind of a similar sort of thing. They do, they make fire, so I guess matchmakers also have a similar kind of an effect. Matchmaker in terms of those who match people together in, loving matrimony. And, they're full time, that's their empowerment. They don't, it's not like they go to university to study it, they automatically have the capacity to do this, and they don't go around advertising it. They simply know. They can look at the propensities, the psychology, the physiognomy of various children, and they can see that these children are meant for each other. The astrologer comes much later. His position is just a confirmation, that's all. The matchmaker is the one who really knows whether that match, when struck to the box, will cause fire or not. He knows. So this Kashinath Pandit, when he met Mother Sachi, she called him. He said, "Yes, the right girl for your son is this Vishnu Priya. Who better than her? She is the most beautiful, most pious, and from the best family. Who better to be your daughter-in-law than this Vishnu Priya?" So he went off to the house of Sanatan Mishra, hoping for the best, and sure enough, Sanatan Mishra. Mother Sachi was a little apprehensive, thinking, because Mother Sachi, after the departure of Jagannath Mishra, was living on the breadline, basically. They had no, materially speaking, wealth of any kind much, just enough to sort of maintain. They were not opulent materially, living very simply. And Sanatan Mish was a very well-to-do Brahmin, and sometimes in the Brahminical culture, well-to-do Brahmins don't like, if you know the story of Sakshi Gopal, you know all about it. They don't like to give their daughters to the son of a poor Brahmin family. So that was an apprehension which Mother Sachi Devi had. But nonetheless, she was hopeful, and Kashinath was also hopeful. And it so happened that Sanatan Mishra was also thinking of the same thing. He thought that, well, Kashinath Mishra told Sachi, don't worry, there's no more beautiful boy or more popular boy in the whole of Navadweep than your son, and more learned. I'm sure that he'll agree. And Sanatan Mishra was thinking of the same thing, so it was just... it was so automatically natural. So the marriage was arranged in great pomp. Buddhimanta Khan and other devotees agreed to pay for the entire wedding. They said, this wedding should be more opulent than any wedding that's ever taken place. More than that, even the demigods. And all the demigods, everybody was there. The demigods were there too, of course, making everything the greatest marriage ceremony in history. And it was such a grand event. A phenomenal event. Everyone thought that the couple looked just like Parvati, Lord Shiva and Parvati, or maybe Lakshmi Narayan, or maybe Sachi and Indra. They were all commenting in different ways. Sita Ram. It was such an amazing affair. Glorious affair. Weddings should be very wonderful. It's a very important, let's say, samskara, or a very important event in people's lives. As initiation, all these events are glorious festivities to help people to go back to Godhead. And of course this is not an ordinary marriage. Everything was arranged so wonderfully, and Sanatan Mishra gave a very large dowry. Very wonderful event. And of course after the marriage and everything was over, and they lived together there in the house of Mother Sachi for several years, very happily there, enjoying their, in the pastimes of loving, conjugal loving relationships. Because she is the eternal consort of the Lord. She's not just an ordinary jiva. However, after some time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya. Nimai Pandit went to Gaya. And in Gaya, he got the darshan, or the association of Ishwarapuri, and accepted diksha from Ishwarapuri. When he came back from Gaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not the same person. He was the same person, but didn't seem to be the same person. He was a madman. Totally disinterested in everything but Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He was, seemed like he was in another world, oblivious to everything. He would roll on the ground screaming, Krishna, Krishna, jump in the air, Hare Krishna. His teaching in the school, and told all of his students what's going on. He would only talk about Krishna. Everything was Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He had no interest in family life. Mother Sachi was getting very, very concerned. Her son was going mad. She tried to treat him in various ways. Nothing could be done. Maybe he's got epilepsy or something, somebody said. All sorts of different, nothing could be done. He was going this way and that way. The devotees, of course, there were many other wonderful things taking place. His behavior towards the devotees had become so sweet, nectarian. They were thinking, at last, why we're so attracted by Nimai, we could not understand. Now we can understand. He's none other. They couldn't realize he's the Supreme Lord, but he's manifesting the symptoms of the most greatest devotee. They were in ecstasy. Then the kirtans began in the house of Srivast Thakur, the Nagasangatan began. Everything started to take off after that initiation from Ishwarapuri. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, there's certain instances took place, curse took place of one Brahmin, and then some of his students, or some students became a little bit, offensive. Questioning why Lord Chaitanya would sometimes go into a different mood and cry, Gopi, 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 Gopi. And they were, what are you doing? You should chant Hare Krishna. What are you talking, Gopi, Gopi? He got angry. After a while he realized that this is not, I've got to do something. People are misunderstanding. I have to take sannyas. Only then will they accept. So Lord Chaitanya made the decision to accept sannyas. Nobody knew, except for a few confidential devotees, very few, Nityananda, one or two. The night before, Vishnupriya could sense that something was happening. She could, well, something was already happening, but she could feel something very different was happening. Mother Sachi also. Lord Chaitanya had been mentioning sometimes. Vishnupriya. Lord Chaitanya sat down with Vishnupriya the night before he left. That conversation is in the Chaitanya Mangala of Lochan Das Thakur. Discussing, Lord Chaitanya tried to appease his consort, who was overwhelmed with grief at the thought of her beloved leaving home. He assured her not to worry. He tried to speak philosophy, revealed to her his form of, or their form, their eternal forms, Lakshmi Narayan and so on. He assured her that don't worry, that whenever you think of me, I will be immediately by your side. I will never leave you. Different ways she became a little satisfied. And then they took rest. In the middle of the night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai, he rose from bed without his wife's knowledge. He went to the room of his mother, Sachi, and he spoke to his mother, woke her and spoke to her, explaining what was going on. Again, his mother was overwhelmed, of course, with grief. She could not answer. Vishnupriya said, "You are the independent Supreme Lord. No one can stop you from doing what you want to do. If this makes you happy, my only happiness is your happiness." This was the mood of Sachi Devi. But she, of course, for both of them, it was an unbearable experience, practically. They both considered themselves to be sinful wretches. Something terrible they must have done to deserve such a fate. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left and swam across the Ganga to Katwa, where he accepted sannyas from Keshava Bharati. Plunging all the devotees into Vipalamba Bhav, the higher, even higher mood of attachment to the Lord. Experience which especially Vishnupriya more than any of them experienced. Just as Krishna left Vrindavan, leaving Radharani and the gopis forlorn, in that, or let's say in a mood of inconceivable ecstasy of separation. For the rest of her life, Vishnupriya remained, practically she just remained without eating, constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna, morning to night, not morning to night, round the clock. She never slept or ate practically for the rest of her life. She simply maintained herself. By each time she finished one round of japa, she would put one grain of rice aside. That's all she would eat, and not even all of that. That was her only food stuff. This way, she also had a deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, worshipped now in Dameshwar, in Navadweep, a deity of Lord Chaitanya who was worshipped by Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. In this way, she spent her days worshipping her beloved Lord. And we have Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Who else is there? Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Raghunath Das? Pundarik Vidyanidhi. It's our favorite. Who likes drama? Who likes drama? Who is good in drama? Who's a good actor? Who's a good actor? Actor? Well, you won't be here. Unfortunately. Who likes acting? Hands up anyone who likes to perform in drama. I cannot see or know. Who is that at the back there? Come and see me afterwards. Okay, if you want to. Come and see me after. Anyone? Unfortunately, there's only male roles. But if anyone, male amongst the males, would like to participate in a drama, come and see me afterwards. Of course, Nityananda would love dramas. He would perform Lord Chaitanya, so many dramas. They would all do dramas. Prabhupada loved dramas. It's a very important part of festivals, is drama. So, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, this is one of our favorite dramas. We're not going to do it today. but it's one of our favourite dramas. He appeared in the world near the city, what is now called Chittagong city in Bangladesh. There's a place there called, now it's known as Pundarik Dham. Who has been to Pundarik Dham? He says, Radharaman Maharaj, you've not been, you've got to go. Who's been to Pundarik Dham? You've been? Isn't it a wonderful place? It certainly is. It is Mayapur. It is Mayapur, Vrindavan, and Jagannath Puri in one. Isn't it? Everything's there. Radhakund's there, Shamakund's there, Govardhan Hill's there also. Everything's there. I've been maybe two or three times. A wonderful place, Pundarik Dham. That is the place where Pundarik appeared in this world. Also in that area also, Mukunda Dutta also appeared there. Vasudev Dutta also appeared there. The Duttas appeared there in that same area. But other than that, Pundarik wasn't known to the devotees in Navadvip. They didn't know him. The associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were, and they didn't know Pundarik, and he didn't know them, at least not in this manifestation. So, once upon a time, and Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip, this is before he went to Puri, he suddenly started, not suddenly, always in Kirtan, but suddenly he stopped and started crying out, and there's, Baba, 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 Pundarik, Baba, Baba! Everyone, what is he doing? And they said, Bop! Bop! What is he calling to? Father? Who's Father? Oh, Pundarik. He's referring to Lord. The Lord's name is Pundarik, so maybe he's referring to him. But then he said, Pundarik! Vijayani! 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 Who is this Vijayani? Who is this? They were bewildered. They didn't know who it was. Oh, my father, when will I see you? When will I have your association? The Lord was crying and crying sometimes. And unknown to everyone else, Pundarik Vijayanidhi came to Navadvip. He was very rich and opulent person. He wasn't like a renunciate by external vision. He looked like a prince, practically. He came to Navadvip. Lord Chaitanya knew he came. And when nobody else knew, except for Mukunda. Nobody else knew, because they didn't know who he was. He just looked like another rich man coming there. He had a house there in Navadvip, one of his many residences. He'd come there sometimes. Lord Chaitanya was hankering for his association, but the time wasn't right. One day, Mukunda said to Gadadhar, Gadadhar Pandit was most close, intimate association of Nimai. He said, Gadadhar, I know you always like to have the association of great devotees. Would you like to meet a great devotee, a friend of mine? Oh yes, please, take me to him. I want to meet him. So Mukunda said, come, let us go. So they went off to the house of Pundarik Vijayanidhi. They got to the house. Gadadhar got there. He offered his respects. And then there was Pundarik sat there. He was sat there on a throne. Very ornate throne with nice pillars, and silk canopies, beautiful red velvet. He had like nice spittoons on by the side there. Places where there was pan and betel leaves and various things around him. The spittoons that spitting out the pan were there. Bowls of the most opulent fruits were there. He had servants fanning him with chamras. All around him where there was a beautiful palanquin there, a bedstead with like ornate gold and silver trimmings in the room. And one of the servants would come up with a mirror as he was grooming himself, his hair. Another one was combing his long, silky hair, which had all kinds of scents and fragrances. Gadadhar was the most simple brahmachari you could ever come across. He was so renounced, you know. And he started to sing. First of all, Pundit said, "Oh, Mukunda, so wonderful to have your association. And who is this wonderful young brahmachari who looks so divinely spiritual who has come with you?" And they introduced him as Gadadhar Pandit. "I'm so fortunate to have the association of such a wonderful Vaishnava." Like this it was going on. But Gadadhar was starting to think, "Who is this personality? I'm getting a little bit bewildered here. I mean, what is this? It doesn't look like that great person that Mukunda's talking about. Something not quite right here." He started to have some doubts in his mind. And Mukunda could see in the face of Gadadhar that there was some doubt appearing there. So Mukunda then decided he would end Gadadhar's doubts. Mukunda then began to recite the wonderful pastime of how Krishna delivered Putana from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he started quoting the verses in Sanskrit, how merciful Krishna is, that even though this demon in the form of Putana, beautiful, he looked like a goddess of fortune, came there with the intention of killing Krishna, Krishna accepted her as his mother and sucked her breast. And by sucking her breast, he delivered her. He killed her, but he delivered her to a position equivalent to his own mother in Goloka Vrindavan. How merciful is that, Lord? Someone comes to kill him, and he gives him the highest benediction. This is the Lord. When Pundarik heard these statements of Mukunda, Pundarik could not control himself any longer. Just like a maddened materialist who's infatuated with the beauty of a woman cannot control himself. Sometimes devotees too, when they become bewildered, go crazy. So Pundarik, even more so, went completely mad. He started to tremble. His arms started to flash in every direction. His legs flew off the throne. He kicked everything flying. He roared. He smashed the spittoons. He smashed the throne. The bedstead flew up in the air. Everything went flying. His servants fell to the ground. The fruit flew in all over the room. Everything, the mirror crashed on the ground. His hair went up in the air like this. He ripped his shirt, silk garments, to pieces. He went crazy. He rolled on the floor screaming and screaming, "Krishna! Krishna! Krishna!" He was going mad. Everyone was stunned. Everyone jumped for their lives. The whole room was shattered. He roared and roared and roared. After some time, he went silent, laying there on the floor, completely oblivious to the external world for hours and hours and hours. Gadadhar stood there motionless, stunned, thinking, "Oh, what an offense I have committed. What an offense. I have judged this devotee by externals. I am such an offender." Hours and hours passed by. He decided the only atonement would be to surrender to his lotus feet. Eventually, Pundarik Vijayaniti came back to external consciousness. The servants tried to adjust whatever was left as best as they could. And then Gadadhar surrendered to his lotus feet, begging him for shelter. So Pundarik, at the request of Gadadhar, agreed, "How fortunate am I to have such a great opportunity to serve a great devotee like you and to have a disciple like you." He agreed to it. Later on he said on the Dwadashi day of the waxing moon, he would give the initiation. That took place some time later. However, it so happened that a few days later, Pundarik went to visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He'd been hankering to meet his beloved, and the Lord had been hankering to meet Pundarik, his father. he came there, and Lord Chaitanya, when he was crying and crying, when will I get the opportunity to meet Pundarik? When will that chance come? So the boys were still wondering, what is this? So then the Lord Pundarik came, and when he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Pundarik and Lord Chaitanya embraced each other in mad ecstasy, together dancing, holding each other for hours together, hours and hours. Pundarik said, my Lord, I am the most sinful person. You have delivered everyone, but I am so sinful, only I have not been delivered. Lord Chaitanya said, now my life is successful. I have seen you. All of my desires are fulfilled. In this way, they spent hours together. It said that anyone who even speaks the name of Pundarik Vidyanidhi will attain perfection in devotion. Anyone who hears about the meeting of Gadadhar Pandit and Pundarik Vidyanidhi will receive the jewels of love of Krishna, even if one hears this pastime. So for hours they remained together, embracing each other. And then Lord Chaitanya also gave his blessings to Gadadhar Pandit to receive initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who became then, of course, confidential associate of the Lord. In previous manifestations, let's say, in their original forms in Krishna Loka, of course, who is Pundarik Vidyanidhi? He's none other than? Huh? King? Who? Vrishabhanu, the father of Srimati Radharani. And Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani. So this is their eternal relationship. And in Puri, Pundarik Vidyanidhi would go to Puri sometimes. He would also visit there. Some pastimes are there, especially on the Odinashasti pastime is there. When certain time of the year, when the pujaris offer Jagannath starched cloth, from the point of view of the Shastras, to offer the deity starched cloth is not appropriate. It's considered unclean. Even if you touch starched cloth, you have to take a bath. It's unclean. So they were offering starched cloth, and the Pundarik, his first time seeing, he was a very close associate. Pundarik and Swarup Damodar were very close friends. So Swarup Damodar and he were looking and watching this festival. Lord Chaitanya was relishing the festival of Odinashasti. So Pundarik became a little doubtful. What is this? They're offering starched cloth to the Lord. So he questioned Swarup Damodar. He said, where's the custom? I mean, the residents here in Puri do it all the time, so it must be okay. And he didn't go into depth. Whatever the Lord wants is going on. He's allowing it to happen. Lord Chaitanya is also enjoying it. But Pundarik couldn't, he kept on thinking, well, this isn't quite correct. You know, something wrong here. They should offer very nice cloth, but not starched cloth like this. So that night, after they got home, Pundarik was close and staying with Swarup Damodar. They got back, and that night Pundarik had a dream, and in the dream Jagannath came to him. He said, well, who do you think you are coming here, you know? This is my choice to have starched cloth. You have no right to try to interfere with my enjoyment. And he started to smash Pundarik left and right on his cheeks. Boom, boom, boom. Started to beat him left and right. All in a dream. Pundarik was, oh, he was overwhelmed with ecstasy. How fortunate. The Lord is so merciful. He's personally punishing me for my nonsense. He woke up and he saw bruises and swelling all over his face. And Swarup Damodar asked, what's going on? What happened to you? And he said, you are so fortunate like this. So he got the special mercy of Lord Jagannath like that. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, a very special devotee. So running out of time, we just got Raghunath Das Goswami, and of course he's the main one. And is there breakfast this morning or not? Are they serving breakfast? Is it a fast day or not? What does that mean? No breakfast or no fast? No fast. Is there a fast this morning?
No.
We have to follow in the footsteps of Raghunath Das if you want to stay for the rest of it. Otherwise you better leave now, because Raghunath Das, he's one of the things he's most famous for, not really speaking, but externally speaking in one sense, was that he barely ate. In fact, after the departure of Rupa Goswami, he didn't eat at all. He simply stopped all eating. He didn't even take that little leaf cup of buttermilk anymore. He just totally fasted. Lock, stock and barrel. He didn't eat. So we don't have to imitate Raghunath Das, but he's the personification of Vairagya Vidya, this path of renunciation. What Chaitanya gave this specifically to him. We don't have to follow that, imitatingly speaking. Follow it according to the instruction of our spiritual masters. So anyway, we'll see. If you want to go, I appreciate that, because you do have to fill the tank in order to perform kirtan all day long today. So please feel free to go. Whatever you wish. If you want to, by the way, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Samadhi, the disappearance today, is down at Radhagokulananda Mandir. Also the deity that he worshipped, Giridhari, he also worshipped Radhagokulananda, and he worshipped Giridhari. That Giridhari deity of Shalagram, Giridhari, Govardhan Shila, was given to him through the line of disciplic succession. That Shila was originally worshipped by Mahaprabhu, and that Shila was given to Raghunath Das, and then it came down to Vishwanath. That Shila is also said to be, there are different opinions, but it's said to be there at the Gokulananda temple, together, of course, with at least the Pratibhu version of Radhagokulananda. But the samadhi of Vishwanath Chakravarti is there. So if you weren't going to go anywhere today, go to the Radhagokulananda temple, take darshan of Vishwanath Chakravarti down there. So anyway, back to Raghunath Das Goswami. He was born in a very, very opulent family, the family of the Majumdars, Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar, a place called Saptagram, which is not far from Calcutta. And he was born in a very opulent family. He's the only son of Govardhan Majumdar. And they had a priest named Bhagavan Acharya, who was basically the spiritual guide of the family. So they also made an arrangement, the family of the Majumdars, they made an arrangement with Nawab Hussain Shah that they would be like the tax collectors, like the governors for a large area of Saptagram, as like a big district. So they're like the governors there, and that meant to say they had to pay a lot of money to the king, the Nawab, the Muslim king. Every month they were supposed to pay 1,200,000 gold coins or something like that, or every month, year, or whatever it was. The tax was like that. So that meant they were giving practically the whole salary to the king, but then they were able to extract money from taxes of other sorts and imports, exports. They were still making a lot of money. But they were very pious, and they would use it all for the service of the Lord and the Vaishnavas like this. So this was going on. And then after some time, Haridas Thakur came there. Haridas Thakur had left Benapole, and he was now wandering as a great Vaishnava. He came there, and it was he who was really the spiritual master of Raghunath Das. He gave him his real directions in pure bhakti. When Raghunath was a small boy, Haridas was like his guru. So he spent some time there. So in this way, after some time, the local Chaudhuri, the previous tax collector, was a Muslim, became very envious, because he could see that the Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar were making so much wealth. Although they were giving their allotment to the king, they were making so much more. He became very envious, because when he was doing it, he didn't get such wealth, because he wasn't very pious. And they were pious, and they were Hindus, but they were so influential, they agreed with the king to do this just for the protection of the Hindus. So this was going on. So the Chaudhari became very envious, and he reported this to the king, saying that this man is keeping so much money, it should be yours. So then they arranged to try to, they were going to go and arrest Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar for, you know, misappropriation of income. So they went there, but they weren't there. They disappeared. Hiranya was away somewhere. Govardhan was hiding somewhere, and they couldn't find them. And Raghunath was there, so they captured Raghunath. You're the son. Where are your father? Where's your uncle? Bring him here, otherwise we'll punish you. Yeah, I don't know where they are. I don't know where they are. Tell us, where are they? And he was going on the Chaudhari. But Raghunath would smile, and sometimes he would just speak some sweet words, and they couldn't punish him. He was such a loving child. So after a while, the Chaudhari said, if you don't tell me, I'm going to punish you. He said, my dear sir, you know, you and my father and my uncle are just like brothers in the village. You know, I'm just like your son. You can't, please don't speak like this. After all, there's no one more learned in the scriptures than you are. You are just like a living saint. He started to praise him in various ways, the Chowdhury. Oh, he started to cry. He said, oh, what can I do? Yes, you were like my son. He kind of loved him. He embraced him like this. He said, all right then, I'll tell you what. I'll forget the whole thing if you make some arrangement with your father and uncle where I get a bit of the money, a bit of the share. We'll forget it all. So he did. Raghunath made some adjustment and everything was solved and everyone was fine. However, by the association of devotees of like Haridas and others, young Raghunath was not very intent to become a follower in the footsteps of his father. He wasn't very interested in pounds, shillings and pence or rupees and pice. He was very interested in spiritual life. And his parents could see this, and he was the only son and they were very rich. So they thought, what are we going to do? So they, again and again, they were worried he was going to go off to see Advaitacharya, going off here, there and everywhere. He's going to get polluted by these Vaishnavas. They were also Vaishnava. But you know, it's like parents bring their children to the temple. You know, when they're young Indians, you know this, that your parents bring you to the temple. But if you think, I'm going to join the Hare Krishna temple. No, no, no! No way! You know, they do anything they can to stop you, right? Even though they brought you here before. You can worship Krishna, don't join the temple. That's right, stay at home. So Raghunath was getting a bit too far there. So they, what to do? One day Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas, he came to Shantipur, of course, on his way to Puri. And at that time, it wasn't quite obvious that Raghunath was going crazy at that point of time. So many of the devotees were going to see Mahaprabhu in Shantipur, and Raghunath got the chance to go. He's a young kid. And he went there, and he stayed there quite a few days. Haridas knew him, Advaita, they knew him. So they introduced him, and then Lord Chaitanya was ecstatic. He knew he'd seen his old eternal associate there. He put his toe on Raghunath's head, gave him his blessings. Raghunath was able to serve Mahaprabhu for many days before returning back to Saptagram. So then Lord Chaitanya, of course, then proceeded on to Puri. So from that day on, Raghunath was getting madder and madder and madder and madder. And the parents were getting disturbed. Anything. They had guards on there, 10 or 12 guards, day and night, watching to make sure he didn't run away. You know, everything was arranged. Still they couldn't keep him. They got him married to the most beautiful girl that they could find on the planet, practically. More beautiful than Sachi, Indra's consort. Still he wasn't interested. He's still trying to escape all the time. Can you imagine? He was mad. Again, Lord Chaitanya returned again on his way back, on his way to or back or whatever it was, to Vrindavan. He came to, again to Shantipur. And again, this time Raghunath just desperately wanted to go. How are they going to let him go? They let him go with a big entourage of guards and servants. And the father said, what can I do? The mother said, they have to tie this boy up. And he said, and Lord Chaitanya, his father said, go over there and said, what can I do? He's a madman. Even tying him up is not changing him. He's gone mad. So they let him go, but all the servants and guards were there, making sure he came back quickly. So they managed to get him back after several days with Mahaprabhu, who told him, Raghunath, calm down, boy. Calm down, will you? Now, I tell you a secret. Go home now and behave like a good boy. Do what your father wants you to do. Okay, right? Behave like a good pound, shillings and pence man. Stop acting like a madman. In due course of time, everything will be arranged. Don't worry. So he did. He went back home, and for a year or two, maybe years, he was a good boy. He looked after his father's estate. He was very nice in the family. He didn't run away. But in his heart, he was looking for that opportunity. One day, Nityananda came there. Lord Chaitanya had ordered him to go to Bengal to preach. He came there to a place called Panihati. Who's been to Panihati? Very good. Wonderful. It's a very special dham, just north of Calcutta somewhere. And Nityananda came with all of his associates, and they're having ecstatic pastimes on the banks of the Ganga there, enjoying their cowherd boy pastimes. At that time, not far from Saptagram, Raghunatha heard that Nityananda was there. So he begged permission. Of course, he'd been a fairly good boy for the last couple of years, so, you know, the guard, everything had been loosened up a little bit. Everything had become a little bit relaxed, you know. So, all right then. So they let him go, a few servants, this, that, and the other, to keep an eye on things. And he went there to Panihati to see Nityananda and his associates. But he stayed at a distance. When he saw Nityananda, he offered his dandavats. Nityananda was sat there under a banyan tree with his associates sat around him. He saw from a distance, dear, who is that over there? Someone said, that is Raghunath Das offering his obeisances. Raghunath, you thief! You're a thief! Come here, Raghunath! Come here, you thief! You are like a thief! Thieves, they stay at a distance. They don't come close. They keep at a distance. We know who the thieves here are. Look at those men back there in that little section behind the curtains. They're all thieves. They've all stolen the holy name. There's a 24-hour kirtan ears back there. You're all thieves. You've got to give us some of that. You've got to give us some too. Don't keep it all. He says, you thief, come here. And Raghunath came there. Lord Nityananda put his head on him. Put his foot on his head. Get down. Put his foot on him. I'm going to punish you because you're a thief, he said. I'm going to punish you. What am I going to do? He said, now you have to arrange a festival, he said. A festival. You have to feed all of my associates here. Chip rice. And Chiradhoi Mahotsav, festival of chip rice and yogurt. You have to bring masses of chip rice and yogurt. So Raghunath was in ecstasy about being punished. When you're punished by Nityananda, you've got the full mercy. You don't need to worry, you've made it. So he was so happy. He knew this was what he's looking for. So he made all, a rich man, he brought all the ingredients, they made masses and masses of chiradhoi, not only with chiradhoi, but also with kheer, with condensed milk, and bananas, and ghee, and so many preparations. Made these huge quantities to feed everyone, masses of this wonderful preparations. And of course, when there's a festival, automatically all the local people get to hear about it. So thousands of people heard there's a festival, there's a feast. There's a feast going on down at the Krishna Balaram Mandir, boys. Let's go. Wake up, wake up. It's time for the feast. Miss Mangalarti, miss Bhagavatam, but don't miss the feast. Let's go. Down they go. And the whole place is crowded with thousands of people. All the storeholders heard, here's a festival. Let's get down there with our goods. So they all set up their tables selling this thing and that thing. No, there's no devotees are out there selling all their transcendental items out there in the courtyard, trying to get as much as they can out of the pilgrims and out of all the Vaishnavas and so on. More, more, give me more, give me more. And this is going on. Raghunath himself buys everything from all the storekeepers, cooks it, and then serves it back to them. And he pays them for it and then feeds them all. He's completely giving everything to everybody. Lord Nityananda is so pleased. He's just serving all the devotees. All the devotees are full up to the brim with chip rice and yogurt and so many different things. And then Lord Nityananda is going around. He's pushing prasad in different devotees' mouths. Lord Chaitanya appears on the scene by the meditation of Nityananda. No one can see what's going on. Only one or two like Raghunath, they can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personally there. And you know, it's amazing. The whole festival, everyone's just having a grand time. Wonderful, 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 wonderful festival. And at the end of this wonderful festival, Raghava Pandit then invites Nityananda and his associates to come to his house for another festival in the evening. And the next day, Raghunath Das comes back again to the house of Raghava Pandit, and then Lord Nityananda bestows his mercy upon him. To ask all the devotees, please bless Raghunath Das that he will become freed from his entanglement in the deep dark well of contemptuous family life. So they all blessed him, and Raghava Pandit blessed him, and then Raghunath in reciprocation gave great wealth to all the devotees present there. And Nityananda said, in due course of time, Lord Chaitanya will bestow his mercy upon you and you will be released. But for now, don't worry. So he went back home again. And then sure enough, after some time, the opportunity came. Raghunath was not sleeping in the inner house. He was sleeping on the Durga Mandap on the outside portion of the house. One night the gods were there, still the gods were always there, but that night they were deep in sleep. In the middle of the night, the family priest Yadunandan Acharya appeared there and woke Raghunath in his sleep. He said, "Raghunath, I need your help, Raghunath, because one of the priests in our temple has gone away and left his service. I need you to please come and persuade him to return to his service." Raghunath immediately agreed. So in the middle of the night they left with nobody's knowledge, with the priest Yadunandana. They went away. And on the way to the temple of Yadunandana, Raghunath thought, "This is my opportunity." He said to Yadunandana, he said, "Okay, you don't need to come any further. I'll go to that priest. I know where he is. And I will convince him to return to his service. You can leave now. I will do the work for you." So Yadunandana left. Raghunath looked around. And he saw no guards, no Yadunandana, nobody, silence. He suddenly turned the opposite direction and started turning it to the east and walked at a very fast pace, walked and walked and walked a long way. Meanwhile, of course, everybody woke up. "Where is he? Where is he? Where is he gone? Where's Raghunath? Raghunath's not here. Where is he?" They looked everywhere. Govardhana Majumdar and his family looking everywhere. The guards were asleep. "Wake up! What have happened? Raghunath's gone! Immediately go, quickly!" 10 guards were sent, because that was just a few weeks before the Rath Yatra festival. So Shivananda Saint and all the devotees from Navadvip, they were all on their way, walking towards Puri. So immediately Govardhana and Hiranya, they thought, "He must have gone and joined them. Go there quickly, meet Shivananda. Take this letter, ask him to send their son back." So they raced off and they caught up with Shivananda Sen and his party. But there was no Raghunath. "I'm sorry," says Shivananda, "he hasn't come here. We have not seen him." And they had to return back to Saptagam. So meanwhile, Raghunath is walking in the jungle, the path that nobody takes. For 12 days he walked 40 miles a day. That's a lot of walking. That's about 65 kilometers a day, I think. It's a lot of walking. And he didn't eat except for on 3 occasions. Just some simple milk in one. First night he stayed in the house of a cow shed and took a little milk. Another time he got some fused rice, next to nothing. Eventually he arrived there in Puri before Shivananda Sen got there. And then he came. The devotees brought him into the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was ecstatic to see his raghu had arrived. And of course he was very thin and run down and hadn't bathed properly or anything. So Lord Chaitanya immediately called Srup Damodar and said, "Now I am giving him to you. He is now, I have 3 raghus here in my association, Srup. 3 raghus, so please look after him nicely." So he gave him to Srup Damodar. Srup Damodar was like his mentor. They stayed together and Srup Damodar guided him. And everything that Raghunath wanted to relate to Lord Chaitanya would go through Srup Damodar. He was very, very humble. So he stayed there for 5 minutes. Raghunath, Srup Damodar then made sure he got prasadam for several days. He took nice prasadam and so on. Then after a few days, he wasn't taking prasad anymore like that. He went to the Singhadwara gate in the Jagannath temple and was just standing there begging. After a while, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with Raghunath. After a few days, Raghunath wasn't there anymore. He started to go to the different tables where they give extra prasad to anyone who wants it there. He was going there. Then he was going to the begging houses where devotees, if they want to, would just go and accept whatever people were giving there. And different ways he was just becoming more and more renounced in terms of expectation. Lord Chaitanya was very, many instructions are there, you can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One time Raghunath Das approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked through Srup Damodar if he could please answer what are the duties of one in the renounced order of life. Lord Chaitanya said, "You ask everything of Srup Damodar, he knows everything. But as you're asking, I will answer this." And he said, "The duties of those in the renounced order of life is 3 primary You can say don'ts, yama and yama, three don'ts, and that is you should not. What are those three don'ts? Huh?
Excuse me?
Can't hear. Banamataibi? Three don'ts. What are the three do nots? You may be right. I can't hear you. English? Yeah. Don't eat opulent food. Don't, what are the other two? Don't dress in opulent clothes. And don't, huh? Yeah, that comes there, but specifically he said, do not talk gramyakata. No mundane talk. That's the worst of the three. Eating opulent food just affects you. Dressing in opulent food only affects those who see, but talking nonsense affects everybody, he said. The worst of all is nonsense talk. So like that. And then he said, in the heart of hearts, you should always remember and meditate upon Radha and Krishna. Positive side. These are the duties. 24 hours chanting Hare Krishna for those in the renounced order of life. Then this lady is living a very, very renounced life there in Jagannath Puri. Lord Chaitanya gave him his own shalagram shila, also a necklace of conch shells, like this, because it represents Srimati Radharani. And later on, Jagannath even gave up eating like that. He gave up even going to the begging houses, to the food houses. He stopped all these things. And he went to the place in the food houses. If there's something left after a few days and it's starting to decompose, they throw it into the drain, and the animals come and eat it. So Raghunath was going there to eat. And even the cows were leaving it. And he would get whatever was left and wash it somewhere or another and eat. That was his sustenance. So Lord Chaitanya was asking, where is he? What happened to him? And then they told him what had happened. And he was very happy. So he said, why is he? Where is he? Let us go and see. So Govinda explained to him what was going on. Govinda is Lord Chaitanya's servant. So then Lord Chaitanya went down to that place. And there in that place, he saw Raghunath Das with his rice, which had been practically moldy, just washed up. And he said, Raghunath, what are you doing? Now I know you're feasting every day and you're not inviting me? My lord, this food is not fit for anybody. Give me some. He tried to stop him. Lord Chaitanya, grab some of that food, that rice. He took the rice and said, Raghunath, I have never tasted such nectar ever as this prasadam. And you are every day taking such nectar and not inviting me? This way. Raghunath was overwhelmed by the lord. And then, of course, after some time, his parents found out that he was in Puri, because after the next year, they went back to Shivananda Sen, and they went back to Navadweep, and they told him, yes, your Raghunath is now there, and he's living like this, this, and this. So the parents then sent men and money to Puri to try to look after their son there. But Raghunath was not interested, he just used it to feed all the devotees, to arrange feasts. He had nothing to do with him. After a while he refused to accept it, because he considered accepting money from materialistic persons in the name of, and using it in this way was not correct for one in the renounced order of life. He had his lessons to teach. And so this went on. Then eventually, of course, after many years of being there in Puri with Srup Damodar, hearing all the pastimes from Srup about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and so on. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu closed his pastimes in this world. And Raghunath remained in Puri for another year or two with Srup Damodar until Srup Damodar closed his pastimes. And then Raghunath decided he would go to Vrindavan to leave the world. So he decided he wanted to jump off the top of Govardhan Hill and leave the world. So he went to Vrindavan, and when he reached Vrindavan, of course, he met Rupa and Sanatan, which was also the order of Lord Chaitanya to go there and take shelter or be with Rupa and Sanatan. He went to Vrindavan, and they convinced him not to give up his body, so he stayed there with them, and they remained associates. Although Raghunath meant most of the time was in Radhakund, performing his bhajans there, but basically they remained together there here in Vrindavan Dham, for the remainder of their manifest pastimes. And Raghunath Das wrote many literatures whilst he was there, compiled many different Vaishnav literatures and songs and different things, and performed tremendous austerities. It's understood that he practically wasn't eating. He was literally taking one leaf cup of buttermilk per day whilst he was there. That was it. And he would daily chant a minimum 64 rounds. He would circumambulate Govardhan Hill. He would offer a minimum 2,000 obeisances to Vaishnavas, 1,000 obeisances to the Lord. Everyone he saw coming into Vrindavan, he would pay his obeisance to everybody. Like this, he was performing his bhajan very, very absorbed day and night in bhajan. Sometimes meeting with the other Goswamis, they also convinced him that he should stay there and not give up his life, because he had spent all this time in Puri with Mahaprabhu, 16 years, and on top of that with Srut Damodar, that he should stay there and he should actually speak every day for 3 hours on Chaitanya Leela. So he would stay there and repeat what he'd heard or seen in Puri to all the devotees there, especially the Goswamis here in Vrindavan. This was Raghunath Das's daily program. He wouldn't sleep at all. I mean, if his body rested, he wasn't sleeping. He didn't sleep. He completely absorbed. This is the eternal associates of the Lord. They're not of this world. Of course, he's in it. You know, sometimes it said he's Rati Manjari or Rasa Manjari. Different. Maybe he's both. That happens sometimes. All these great personalities have their eternal positions in the spiritual world. So they're not of this world. So that's why we honor their appearances and disappearances, their Nitya Siddha associates of the Lord. And sometimes he would perform his bhajan on the banks of Radhakund, Shamakund. One time on the bank of Radhakund or Shamakund, whichever one of them. Performing his bhajan, some tigers came along. He was oblivious, completely absorbed in his bhajan. Came to notice that Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami saw that Lord Krishna himself was stood nearby to make sure that no harm came to Raghunath. So Sanatana said to Raghunath, you should make a kutir, a hut, so that, to protect yourself. It was dangerous sitting here like this, middle of a jungle in those days. So he didn't care less. He didn't care. He did carried on. Another day he was also there, very hot, middle of summer. It was boiling hot and he wasn't even aware. Performing his bhajan, his body was getting burned practically. And at that time Radharani came and she saw Raghunath like that. So she came over with her sari and held it over Raghunath's head to protect him from the sun. And stood there for hours, sweating and sweating. Her whole sari was soaked. Sanatana happened to pass by again and saw, this is too much. It's one thing engaging Krishna in his service, but to engage our life and soul, Srimati Radharani, in your service, this cannot be allowed. I will not allow this. You must make a kutir. So then they forced Raghunath to make the kutir there on the banks of Radhakund there. So he stayed there chanting in the kutir, like that. Another time, there was this one big, he was thinking one time, he thought it would be nice to make the kund, rather than Shamakund, very nice for the devotee, but he was also very unhappy that people were bathing, not just bathing, but using soap and washing their clothes and spitting and all sorts of things, sometimes in the kunds, you know. So he wanted to make a well, so they could use the water from the well. When they were digging the well, suddenly they hit some stone and blood started coming out. What is this? Then he saw and he realized this was actually none other than the tongue of Govardhan. So you can see that there now at between Radhakund and Shamakund, there's one temple there, the tongue of Govardhan. And then another time there was this rich businessman who was going up to Badrinath, Mr. Set, or whatever it's called. He wanted to giving great charity in Badrinath. And then he had a dream. At that time, Raghunath was also thinking how to make Shamakund and Radhakund more kind of like suitable for people to come and actually bathe and so on. So this businessman, he had a dream. And in a dream, the Lord came and told him and said, look, there's one great devotee, Raghunath Das, staying in Vrindavan at Govardhan, the bank of these Shamakund and Radhakund. You should go there and with your wealth, you should renovate these kunds and make these beautiful kunds. So he did. He left there very happily. And with his wealth, Raghunath supervised the building of the nice kunds there in Shamakund and Radhakund. like that he spent his time there with the other Goswamis in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Time for lunch. Hare Krishna. So we were going to read something, but there's no time, and we'll leave that. You can read it. Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchalila. Chapter 1 is a whole chapter on Raghunath Das, if you want to read. Shri Raghunath Das Goswami Ki Jai. Shri Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur Ki Jai. Shri Pandrit Vigyanidhi Ki Jai. Shri Raghunandana Thakur Ki. Shri Mati Vishnu Priya Devi Ki Jai. Vasanta Panchami Ki Jai. Go Premanandi. Go Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.